ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Hold fast to the weak, don't let them fall. Probably these are those who are young in the Lord, young in their faith. They hadn't had time to grow yet. So hold on to them. Don't let them fall. No, we see that with young children who are learning to walk, right? You know, they got the Frankenstein walk, and they're holding on to things, and you put out your hands, your fingers, for them to hold on to, and you're guiding them, and you're watching them. You don't want them to fall. You want them to keep going. And that's kind of the idea here. Think of a person who has a broken leg and has a cast on it to support that leg so he can stand up. That's what we're to do, support each other. And think about, again, when you were young in the faith and those who came alongside you and helped you to grow to mature in the faith. They helped you to stand strong. Now you're older in the Lord, stronger in the Lord, and you're to take time to come alongside the weaker sheep and help them to grow in the Lord. Give them doctrine and encouragement as they strive towards righteousness and away from sin. Again, in Romans chapter 15, Paul said in verses 1 through 3, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." Those that are strong in the faith, those who walk in the liberty that they have in Christ, are to bear up, support those who are weak in the faith. Not to keep them down, but to lift them up, to make them strong. Not self-centered, but other-centered. Again, Romans 14:19. "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." Wow, what a great attitude to have, building people up. And then Paul speaks about being patient with all. And I think the idea here, it fits in with those that are weak, and it's easy to get impatient with them. We expect them to grow in 6 days and things that took us the 6 years or 16 years to get through, right? Or maybe we're still growing in that. But we're to be patient, having a long fuse, not quick-tempered, ready to explode. And Paul, I don't know if we like this one, but if we don't like it, it's actually the flesh that doesn't like it. "See that no one renders evil for evil." Don't seek revenge. Don't get even. I can't tell you how many times with social media this has been an issue for me that I've had to deal with. Not to get even. Someone says something to me, against me. I'm ready to slam them. That's the flesh. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. And I just had a guy who, you know, posted on our Facebook page, church Facebook page, but no one could see it unless I allowed it, which I didn't allow because the guy's a wacko, but that's the Greek. But he basically said that pastors shouldn't be paid. That's wrong. You shouldn't have pastors over a church. You let everyone do what they want in the church. That's chaos. It's called chaos. You know, we don't even let people do, in our own homes, we don't do that with our kids. Do whatever you want. No, that's chaos. Anarchy will result in that. And I should gave him some verses about Paul and Timothy talking about pastors being paid and stuff. And he said, "Well, you're just bound in legalism." I'm not even, I said, "You make me laugh." That's, no one's ever said that of me, but that is funny. I'm bound by legalism. Okay. But that was it. I'm done. You know, I gave him the scriptures supporting that there is a shepherd or under shepherd over the sheep. The sheep don't run the church. God has placed under shepherds in charge. He is the chief shepherd. And, you know, he didn't buy into that. I think he thinks I'm legalistic because I quoted scripture. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it's really easy to start fighting back. Why? Because they're coming against me. Well, that's something that we have to watch. If they come against God, well, that's a different story. But when coming against me, God will deal with it. He takes care of it. People can complain about me and, put me down. That's fine. I know what God has called me to do. You know what God has called you to do. You do what God has called you to do. You don't let people influence you to deviate from what God has said. That's important. Don't render evil for evil. Now, this probably is one of the easier ones when people are nice to us, right? But when they do something evil to us, what do we want to do? We want to lash out at them. We want to respond. We want to get back. Hey, I'm Italian. I understand that, man. I was so disappointed when cars, they put the on the inside of trunks. Now you can get out of them. They got little latches. For Italians, that's just a disaster, you know? You put them in the trunk, they're climbing out. But you're not supposed to repay evil for evil. God takes care of it. No, there's not a gift of retaliation. In fact, Paul in Romans 12, verses 17 through 21 said this. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God wants us to live peaceably with all men as much as possible. Now, that doesn't give you the license to say, well, you know that person, it's impossible to live at peace with him. No, that's not what Paul is saying. He's saying you live at peace with them. If they don't want to reciprocate that, that's their problem. But I've called you to live at peace. And you're not going to live at peace with all people. They're not going to want it. Got to be careful we don't let our anger drive us to do something that's wrong. We let the Spirit of God lead us to do what's right. And it's not something that we can do on our own. Returning good for good and evil for evil is the normal human response. Right? You don't have to be a Christian to live that way. Someone's nice to you, you're nice to them. Someone does something wrong to you, you do something wrong to them. And returning evil for good is demonic. But returning good for evil, being kind to someone who's being nasty to you, that's Christ-like and that's a witness. But that can only happen as we surrender our lives to the Lord. Submit to His rule in our lives. We crucify the flesh, or I'll tell you what, it will resurrect itself and it will be ugly. There will be no peace in the situation. Paul said he had to deal with this daily. How many of you have to deal with the flesh daily? Absolutely. Otherwise, you're dead, right? We have these bodies of flesh. That's just the way it is. And we got to deal with it. And the sixth point that Paul makes here in verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 5 is this. Always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. You know, we should have a forgiving heart towards others. Not only is it good for them, it's good for ourselves. You know, Peter in 1 Peter 3 said, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Be of one mind. And I have no problem with that as long as they agree with me. Right? That's easy. But that's not what Peter's saying here. What mind is he speaking of? He's speaking of the mind of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ. How do I know the mind of Christ? Be in His Word. He will show you. His Spirit will reveal what you need to do. It's one of humility, servanthood, submission, looking out for the welfare of others. And man, that's the mind of Christ we need to put on. We have the mind of Christ because the Holy Spirit has revealed these things to us. And so, as we are one with God, as we put on the mind of Christ, there's unity with the brethren. And if not, it gets ugly. Paul in Galatians 5:15 said, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Wow. Just like Christian cannibals, we devour each other, right? Well, what can we do? How do we resolve this problem? Well, that was Galatians 5:15. In verses 16 through 18, Paul tells us, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here's the answer to our fighting, our anger, or whatever. Walk in the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, will flow from your life. and not the ugliness that comes from the works of the flesh. It's as simple as that. And one of the challenges we face in this area of loving the brethren is when we've been wrong. Someone treats us unfairly, and the natural response is to repay with evil. Distance yourself from them. The supernatural response, walking in the Spirit, love them, bless them. Why? Because God has commanded us to. And if you can't, then you need to do a heart check. You need to ask, Lord, well, what's hindering me from loving them? See, as you love the brethren, there is a built-in blessing from God for you. Don't miss that. And think about it. If you still struggle with anyone, God has forgiven you of every single sin you have committed so far and will commit in the future. He has forgiven you. I think he wins on this one. If he can forgive, why can't you? Because you're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. So really, six important points here. Warn the unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Don't get even. And pursue what is good. And now as we look at verses 16 through 18, Paul is going to explain how we respond to circumstances that come into our lives. How we deal with the situations we face and how will we respond is going to impact others. Why? Because they're watching us. Christians and non-Christians are watching. Look at verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No. We are not only to rejoice in happy things, but whatever comes our way, we rejoice because God is in control. Our joy is not based in those circumstances. They're based in the Lord. That's why the joy doesn't change. The circumstances will change. I can't rejoice that my child is sick or my wife is sick or this happened or that happened, but I can rejoice in the Lord. I can always rejoice in him because I know he's in control. I don't understand it on this side of heaven all the time, most of the time, but I know he's in control. That's why, you know, as I look at this world and I see all the things that are happening, I rejoice. You think, how could you rejoice? Look at all that's going on. Hey, I don't rejoice in all the persecution and all the immorality that's going on. I rejoice in the Lord because he's told me these things are going to happen and it's going to usher in the return of Jesus Christ. I can rejoice always. He's in control. I think it's important for us to understand that. Spurgeon put it like this. He said, I am bound to mention among the curiosities of the churches that I have known many deeply spiritual Christian people who have been afraid to rejoice. Some take such a view of religion that it is to them a sacred duty to be gloomy. He also said, turn this book over and see if there be any precept that the Lord has given you in which he has said, groan in the Lord always, and again I say groan. You may groan if you like. You have Christian liberty for that. But at the same time, do believe that you have larger liberty to rejoice, for so it is put before you. Now, I'm not saying groan in these bodies because of the aches and pains, but groan in the spirit, groaning in the heart. We should rejoice always. But I do love his sense of humor. Groan in the Lord always, and again I say groan. That's hilarious to me. Even back then, yeah, we see humor. And groaning in the Lord is not a spiritual gift. You know, Habakkuk, he understood that rejoicing in the Lord. The Babylonians were coming. They devastated the land. Captivity. It was horrible. Things were a mess. And Habakkuk didn't understand. And the Lord said, this is what's going to happen, man. And this is what he said in Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. The perspective that he had. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet and he will make me walk on my high hills. Even in the midst of that, yes. It doesn't matter the situations that come upon us. We rejoice in the Lord. The God who has given to us everlasting salvation. We rejoice in him. And I think, you know, we lose sight of the fact that God's on the throne, that he's in control. And he'll see us through no matter what the situation is. You know, people were fearful Hillary Clinton might get into office. Yeah, it wasn't something that I wanted. But what if she did? We go, oh no, what are we going to do? The same thing we did before the elections, right? We serve the Lord. He's still on the throne. He knows all that's going to take place. To us, it's new. Wow, I'm shocked by this. God's not. We know all things work together for good to those who are called. We know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Circumstances change, and sometimes they change so quickly, don't they? God doesn't. We need to understand that. Paul also says we're to pray without ceasing. Oh yeah, that's easy for you. I work. How can I pray all the time? Well, you're missing the point. Our lives should be in tune with God throughout the day. Our lines of communication with Him are always open so He can direct us throughout the day. That doesn't mean that you're on your hands and knees or on your faces before the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Can you talk to God just by walking down the street? I remember when my oldest son Joe was younger and we were in one of the forest preserves in Illinois and riding our bikes on one of the trails. And we were singing some songs and he was just, you know, praising God. And all of a sudden we see him because he was ahead of us and he's going all over the place and he's like off the trail. Like, Joe, what are you doing? I was closing my eyes praising God. Like, you can't do that riding a bike. But it was very cute, to say the least. You know, without ceasing, any time of the day. You know, we're facing a major crisis at work. What do? You should pray. You know, I worked in a critical care unit at a hospital, at several hospitals, and man, there are situations, Lord, I don't even know what to do. I remember one time, and I was at LPN at this time, I was working in, not in the ICU, but on a telemetry unit, cardiac patients, heart patients. And there was this woman who was in there who was having this irregular heartbeat. It was called VTAC. And she was having runs of this, and we kept putting her on all this medication, and it wasn't helping. And the doctors were baffled. They had no idea what was going on. And I was just like, I don't know what's going on. And I was really young in the Lord at this point, very young. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And I just need to look at the chart. I need to look at her chart. And I'm an LPN. I passed meds. That was my job, passing meds to like 30 patients on this floor throughout the night or evening shift. And I started looking. I'm going, what's different in her since she got in? And the only thing that was different was that she had an IV line put into her upper portion of her heart on the right side. That was the only thing that was different. When was her last chest x-ray? Well, it was a long time ago. Again, she's been on IV medication, oral medication, everything. They don't know what's going on with her. And I told my charge nurse, I said, Marsha, I said, this person hasn't had a chest x-ray in a long time. What if that catheter migrated down into her right ventricle and she's having VTAC because every time her heart beats, that catheter is flipping around hitting her ventricle? We need to get an x-ray. So she called the doc, they did an x-ray, and it had migrated down. I'm like, well, praise God. No one knew how to figure that out. Can we seek God's direction? Absolutely. I wish I could say every time it was that easy. Was it? But our communication with God. Jesus said, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Wow, to be men and women of prayer, not to lose heart. I've been praying for 30 seconds and nothing's happened. Okay, don't lose heart. Trust God. We pray for His will to be done, not ours. Keep that in mind. And the third point that Paul speaks of here is in everything give thanks. How? How can I give thanks again for everything? Again, you know what Paul said, and I'll read from the Amplified Bible from Romans 8:28. We are assured to know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. It doesn't say we see that all things work together because we don't always see it. It doesn't say we feel that all things are working together because, you know, feelings, whoa, feelings, you know how those go. But I can give thanks in everything because I know that all things work together for good. How do I know? Because God has told me. Do I trust Him? Well, how can I trust Him? I don't see it happening. When you were saved, when you asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, when you repented of your sins, did He send you an email or a letter or something saying, Joe is saved? No, you believed it by faith, because that's what His Word says. Do you believe this by faith? I know all things work together for good. I know it because God has said it. That's really really important. And I'll give you a quick, kind of quick example from someone who was persecuted more than I will probably ever be in my lifetime in a very short period of time. Corrie Ten Boom, in her book, The Hiding Place, tells of a time she discovered that God was working even in the most horrific circumstances. Corrie and her sister Betsy had been imprisoned by the Nazis for hiding Jews behind the wall of their Holland home, and Nazi prison conditions were pretty well unbearable. Corrie writes, "Barracks 8 was in the quarantine compound. Next to us, perhaps as a deliberate warning to newcomers, were located the punishment barracks. From there, all day long and often into the night, came the sounds of hell itself. They were not the sounds of anger or of any human emotion, but of a cruelty altogether detached. Blows landing in regular rhythm, screams keeping pace. We would stand in our 10 deep ranks with our hands trembling at our sides, longing to jam them against our ears to make the sound stop. It grew harder and harder. Even within these four walls, there was too much misery, too much seemingly pointless suffering. Every day, something else failed to make sense. Something else grew too heavy. Yet in the midst of the suffering, the women prisoners around Corrie and Betsy found comfort in the little Bible studies they held in the barracks. Corrie writes they gathered around the Bible like waifs clustered around a blazing fire. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the Word of God. When they were moved to Barracks 28, Corrie was horrified by the fact that their reeking straw bed platforms swarmed with fleas. How could they live in such a place? It was Betsy who discovered God's answer. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corrie. That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. I stared at her, then around me at the dark, foul, arid room. They thanked God for the fact they were together. They thanked God they had a Bible. They even thanked God for the horrible crowds of prisoners. The more people would be able to hear God's word. And then Betsy thanked God for the fleas. The fleas? That was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. Doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us. And so we stood between tiers of bunks and gave thanks for fleas. But this time, I was sure Betsy was wrong. Turned out that Betsy was not wrong. The fleas were a nuisance, but a blessing after all. The women were able to have Bible studies in the barracks with a great deal of freedom, never bothered by supervisors coming in and harassing them. They finally discovered that it was the fleas that kept those supervisors out. Through those fleas, God protected the women from abuse and harassment. Dozens of desperate women were free to hear the comforting, hope-giving word of God. Through those fleas, God protected the women from much worse things and made sure they had their deepest trust needs met. Wow. What did the Lord say in Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the thoughts I plan for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Never forget that. I don't always understand why things happen, like I said, but I trust God. And it's important for us to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything to give thanks. Why? Because Paul says it's the will of God. People go, what's the will of God for my life? I want to know. All right, here it is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. I want something else. That's not how it works. God wants to bless us. Just be obedient to him. Now look at verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So 4 points now. Don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Test all things and hold on to that which is good. And abstain from every form of evil. The word quench, first of all, means to put out, to extinguish, smother, suppress. So how do we quench the spirit or the work of the spirit in our lives? By not obeying him. It's like throwing a bucket of water on a fire. It's quenched. Remember when Stephen was arrested for preaching Christ and he was before the Jewish council and he shared not only their history, but he also shared Jesus with them. In fact, he said in Acts 7, verses 51 through 53, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. He nailed them. It was true. Their fathers persecuted the prophets. I mean, just read Jeremiah. They didn't want to hear it. They should have been cut to the heart and repented of their sins. But in verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, yes, and they gnashed at him with their teeth.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.